Growing up, most of us were taught never to bring up politics or religion in polite conversation. But today, we're going to set aside this well-meaning advice and dive directly into both of these touchy and taboo topics. And we're going to look at them from a biblical perspective. This is Christ in Prophecy's weekend radio program. I'm Nathan Jones, internet evangelist at Lamb and Lion Ministries. And I'm here today to discuss politics and religion with your host, Tim Moore, director and senior evangelist with Lamb and Lion Ministries. Well, Tim, you have a little experience in politics. I think that would be very helpful if you shared them with our listeners.
Well, thanks a lot, Nathan. I want to start off by confessing that I am a recovering politician. By that, I mean that I served in the Kentucky legislature for 13 years. I was elected 7 times, but I never adopted the label of politician. Even my children, when asked, would tell people, "No, my dad's not a politician. He's a statesman." Well, I want to say to those who immediately back off from any talk about politics that politics doesn't have to be a dirty word. It's simply a system where people advocate for policies about how to govern our society. Of course, there are some very unsavory characters advocating for terrible ideas in Washington and virtually every state and jurisdiction in the nation, but I've personally seen that there are also some selfless and dedicated people serving in government. And we do need more Christians to step up and to get involved in these critical discussions. You know, I've seen data that show only 50% of Christians who are registered to vote even show up to the polls. That means that Christians are underrepresented in government, and we are obviously seeing the results of that.
You mentioned some of these terrible ideas in Washington. There are efforts to take away religious freedom, efforts to monitor and control the church, and efforts to consolidate power into a one-world government. And we see the trend, even here in America, moving towards a more centralized, bigger, more intrusive government system. So it seems like whether or not Christians want to be involved in politics, they're going to be impacted by what happens in politics.
You know, that's a very important point, and I think that our current governmental system is intruding more and more into spheres it has no business. Well, that's going to be our focus today on what the Bible says about Christians and the government, and specifically what Bible prophecy tells us about what will happen in world politics as the end times draw closer. We'll get our discussion underway in just a moment. In the meantime, to find out more about Lamb and Lion Ministries, watch our weekly television program or listen to our podcast, and all those are available at ChristInProphecy.org.
4 decades ago, Lamb and Lion Ministries was launched by Dr. David Reagan. And today, we are continuing his legacy and proclaiming the soon return of Jesus Christ to an international audience through TV, radio, and online. We're fulfilling the great calling to proclaim the truth of Scripture from beginning to the end. Find out more when you go to ChristInProphecy.org.
It's primary season. There's a presidential election looming, and we're talking about politics here in America and world politics from a biblical perspective. Politics and the Bible are two topics that some people think don't really go together. I've met people who sincerely think Christians should not engage in politics. But this is where we need to open the Bible and see what God has to say. So, Tim, does the Bible have anything to say about politics?
Boy, does it. I'll tell you what, I have sometimes been surprised when people tell me, oh, politics and Scripture or prophecy do not mix. And my response is, really? Well, tell that to the prophets of Scripture, because all of them declared their utterances from God, either to nations, to individuals, but more often than not, to kings, to rulers. And so they were intimately involved in the politics of their day and age. You can think of Nathan coming to King David. This was a forthtelling prophecy where he told King David about a man who coveted his neighbor's little lamb and ended up taking the little lamb. And King David obviously was outraged. And then Nathan delivered the ultimatum, "You are the man." And that was a word of prophecy from the Lord to the king. Obviously, many other prophets came to kings and rulers, whether of Israel and Judah or even to foreign nations, to say, this is what the Lord says, and you better listen to the word of the Lord.
One of my favorite minor prophets is Micah. Many people don't realize that Micah was the prophet of the poor. He was going to be the clarion call, calling out God's word against the evil king Ahaz. Ahaz was a monster. He was stealing people's land. He had emptied the temple of its treasury, and just in a sackcloth and howling like an ostrich, Micah goes up and one bony finger, he shakes at him and says, the Lord is not pleased. You know, and he goes through all the litany of sins. And this is what the Bible does. It's like a mirror. It reflects God's moral law into society. And we can look at the Bible and say, hey, this is how we should behave. And especially if we've been given the position as stewards, as rulers, authorities, whatever we're in charge of, we should be looking to the Bible to guide us in moral law. Sadly, most got politics, people are saying, I'm not going to follow the Bible, and they just do their own thing, right? And that's what creates all this trouble that we're seeing in the world today?
It certainly does. I can only imagine if Moses, upon being commissioned by the Lord to go and deliver an ultimatum to Pharaoh, had said, well, Lord, that's all well and good, but I don't want to get involved in politics. No, Moses was faithful, and he did what the Lord commanded. You know, Nathan, our founders understood the proper role of Scripture as being the foundation upon which to build a nation.
Yes.
You and I have both preached many times about America and Bible prophecy and establishing that we were founded as a Christian nation. I dare say we are no longer that. We have rejected God. Our leaders, by and large, reject his principles. They like to say, God bless America, but they really don't want anything to do with the God of Scripture because they don't want to live according to his laws. And so we are much like King Nebuchadnezzar in some ways, at least our rulers and our nation, that we have Christians living as virtual exiles in our land, but more often than not, our rulers don't want to hear from them. Just recently, you and I have been talking about Nebuchadnezzar in our series on the book of Daniel, and I think that has some great lessons for us even today.
Yes, and when you say that we're exiles in a strange world, I believe that's true. As Christians, our citizenship is in the kingdom of Christ. We look forward to the millennial kingdom when he returns, and he sets up his kingdom of peace and righteousness and justice. So the question that people have, this problem of evil, is how can I trust and believe in a God who allows evil in through government and all aspects of society to continue? Well, the answer is he's not going to let it go on forever. Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which you brought up, teaches us that, that as the succession of empire starting with Babylon, then Medo-Persia, then Greece and Rome, will come to an end. Don't forget that Daniel also said that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his dream a stone not cut out by human hands come crashing out of the sky, destroy that statue, and fill the earth. And that stone is Jesus Christ. The Lord says world politics will end, human government will end, and Jesus will install his reign upon this earth one day.
So in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which many people like to cite, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Paraphrasing it. But obviously in Psalm 33:12, the psalmist says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And in Proverbs 14:34, we're told that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Going back to the founding of this country, I can tell you that George Washington, Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army, Overseer of the Constitutional Convention, and first President of the United States said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim the tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. And he wasn't talking about religion in a generic sense. He was specifically referring to Christianity, and that is evident through all the writings of our founders in spite of the woke education that is being perpetrated today.
Well, the very fact that America has been successful as it has, as prospered as it has, is because America was founded all the way back to the Mayflower Compact on Judeo-Christian values. And the Lord blessed the United States as long as we were on Judeo-Christian values. But like the British Empire, which gave up the Judeo-Christian values after World War I, there's no British Empire anymore. And the United States faces such a fate when we turn our backs against God.
We certainly do. And I guess the question we'll ask as we end this segment is this: is America still a Christian nation? While you ponder on that, we'll give you a weekly update about what's really going on in the moment. But for now, stay tuned.
To find out what's really going on in the world, keep listening to Christ in Prophecy, your weekly perspective on the signs of the times through the lens of God's prophetic word. Your hosts are Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist for Lamb and Lion Ministries, and our Internet Evangelist, Nathan Jones. Lamb and Lion is a non-denominational ministry whose purpose is to proclaim to as many people as possible, as quickly as possible, that Jesus is returning soon. To find out more, go to ChristInProphecy.org.
Welcome back to Christ and Prophecy Radio, and we're in the segments we call What's Really Going On. Well, Tim, you left us with a question, and that was, is America really a Christian nation anymore? Could you go more in detail about what you meant?
Yeah, sure can. You know, I would like to say we are a Christian nation because that's where my heart is and that's where my hope is. But sadly, I don't believe that's still true. Barack Obama, as president of the United States, several years ago declared America is no longer a Christian nation. I found that to be highly offensive, but the more I thought about it, I realized he is right. Because what Christian nation would murder 60 million of its unborn babies? What Christian nation would not only tolerate but would advocate for the abomination known as homosexual marriage, transgenderism, and the whole litany of cultural abominations that we not only perpetrate, but we encourage others to engage in. So I have a feeling if we call ourselves a Christian nation, that would be offensive to a holy God.
Well, the last Pew Research poll found that only 60% of Americans call themselves Christian anymore. It was 90 just 30 years ago, 90%. So clearly the nation has long abandoned God over this new millennia.
You know, and again, Nathan and I are not saying that we want America to walk away from its Christian heritage.
No.
But we recognize that the trends are taking us far, far away from God. You know, Nathan, we recently had Michelle Bachman on our program on Christ and Prophecy Television. And when I had the opportunity to interview her as a former U.S. representative from Minnesota and the current dean of the Regents University School of Government, we talked about why our nation has strayed so far from its Judeo-Christian values. We also talked about the signs of world politics and as we see them aligning with Bible prophecy, what that really means. So in just a moment, you'll hear Michelle as she shares what she observed on her recent trip to the United Nations in Geneva. Let's listen.
One thing that I saw in Geneva when I was there is that historically, the Roman Empire ended at the Swiss Alps. Obviously, Rome was the capital, and it went as far north as the Swiss Alps. But what I saw when I was in Geneva was a beautiful mosaic of Julius Caesar. And I was ignorant of that history. I didn't know it, but I looked up the history. Julius Caesar wanted to make a name for himself. So he took his army, he crossed the Swiss Alps, and he had a skirmish with the Swiss. From that, he expanded the Roman Empire to the North Sea. So all of Europe came under the dominion of the Roman Empire. And what I saw happening is an effort from the United Nations working through the World Health Organization to revive the Roman Empire. With Geneva as the seat of global power, you have the highest concentration of global power I've ever seen, including pharmaceutical industries, including the banking industry. The second highest number of oil deals are conducted in Geneva, Switzerland. This is a center of global power. And now we're seeing global governance being established. And the end result would be the creation, for the first time in history, a platform for global governance through the World Health Organization, the healthcare arm of the United Nations. It is really shocking. It is exactly what the prophets had foretold from ancient times, that there would be a convergence of events and that someday this would come. And it's almost surreal to hear them speak to propose 307 amendments to the international health rules for the World Health Organization, to propose a global pandemic treaty, both documents of which they want to merge and synchronize. And these documents would effectively transfer sovereignty from all 194 member states over to the World Health Organization, and they would have the ability to be able to force us to do whatever their will is.
Wow, Tim, Michelle Bachman really hit the nail on the head. The World Economic Forum, of course, has its annual meeting in Davos. You know how they ended it, Tim? They ended it with a pagan ritual. They actually got a chief or a shaman from a Brazilian tribe to come up and do an animistic ritual over it. So that is just one of the many aspects of the World Economic Forum desire to put digital ID tracking onto everybody, to create global taxes to fund what they're trying to accomplish, to control social media companies, what we say, to end U.S. sovereignty, and to empower who for future lockdowns. It sounds like it's becoming the world of the Antichrist, isn't it?
It certainly does. When you say who, what we mean by that is the World Health Organization. And what's shocking to me, at least, Nathan, is that our own president, our own Biden administration, administration seems to be on board with this dive into globalism and yielding American sovereignty at every turn. You mentioned the open borders earlier in a previous program. I think that's exactly what we're witnessing. But folks, this is a threat as to what's currently going on, and it plays into the sign of world politics. We'll be back in just a moment to talk more about what's going on and to bring up some truths from the Word of God. Stay tuned.
Jesus taught his followers to watch for the signs of the times, but only 2% of churches teach Bible prophecy. At Lamb and Lion Ministries, our team of scholars and evangelists travel across the country to share their insights into Bible prophecy. To bring solid teaching about Bible prophecy to your community, invite us to come and speak at your church. We want to help Christians understand what's really happening in the world from a biblical perspective. To book a speaker, get in touch with us at ChristInProphecy.org.
Well, welcome back to Christ in Prophecy Radio. Today, we're obviously talking about the sign of world politics, and we've already addressed what's going on. Nathan, obviously, we want to get to some prophetic implications of world politics as we gaze forward, but let's look back for just a moment to see how Bible prophecy has been so accurate in predicting what has already happened in world history. You and I spoke already about Daniel, but he had much to say about prophetically what we've already seen.
The Bible prophesies a very specific configuration of nations in the end time leading up to Jesus Christ's return. One of the prophecies given, and as Daniel prophesied, was that the Roman Empire is going to be coming back. Now, it's hard to believe that the European Union will one day become the Roman Empire again, but the Bible prophesies not only will the Roman Empire return, but the Antichrist will rise up out of it. He will be of those people. So the world can see that the European Union will get stronger and stronger and larger and larger.
It sure will. And we talk about other prophecies frequently here at Lamb and Lion Ministries. We talk about the prophecies dealing with wars of the end times, how we believe that Psalm 83 points to a war between Israel and its closest neighbors. You can think about the recent conflict in Gaza as being evidence that that is just about to happen any day. We think about the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war led by this figure from the remote reaches of the north. We know that is Russia, and it aligns with Turkey and with Iran, what was called Persia back in the day, and even nations in Africa. And we are witnessing the reemergence of Russia as a global threat. We're witnessing Turkey becoming antagonistic toward Israel. And of course, just in recent 40 to 50 years, Iran has turned from being a quasi-ally of Israel to its greatest enemy. So Bible prophecy knew what was going to happen in the end times, and we're seeing those configurations come to pass before our eyes.
Isn't it amazing that the Bible sees the end time configuration where Russia, Turkey, and Iran, which are historical enemies, will unite together and try to form a tremendous coalition of Islamic nations, which Islam wasn't even around when these prophecies were made, in an attempt to destroy tiny little Israel. But the Bible says that. The Bible also has another configuration of nations that in the end times, all the nations will come together against Israel, as Zechariah prophesied. So it's hard to believe that all the nations will join against Israel. But Tim, we see in the news today how many nations who are supposedly friends of Israel are really fair-weather friends, and they're turning against Israel. We know in this what's called a tribulation time period, a seven-year time period where the Lord is going to bring down the judgments of Revelation, is that these nations will unite under this one-world ruler, this Antichrist, who will rise out of Europe and will attempt to obliterate Israel. The hostility against Israel right now is bad, but it's going to be even worse then.
It certainly will. And you know, even as you talk about this rise in hostility against Israel, let's be very frank. For over 1900 years, even Christians would have read these kind of prophecies and been unable to conceive what they really meant because there was no nation of Israel. Only those who trusted that the Word of God is true and every word expected that, well, somehow Israel is going to come back in existence. For some reason, Jews who are living very comfortably, at least settled in places like Germany and Poland and Russia, will be motivated to return to the ancient land known as Israel and reestablish a nation. Just within the last century, we've seen that come to pass, and it is a dramatic example of how Bible prophecy is accurate. And yet today, even many Christians don't recognize the significance of the nation of Israel being back on the world stage, poised to have all these other prophecies come to pass.
It's interesting how many of the theologians back in the 1700s and 1800s would read in the Bible about the nation of Israel being back again, and they're like, well, We don't understand it, but the Bible says it, so it must be true. Then in May of 1948, Israel became a nation again. It came out of the dustbin of history. So it's surprising that we can look at Israel and say, it's back. And if it's back, the Lord said, and I don't want to get all into the fig tree parable, but the Lord prophesied that when Israel became a nation again, like the fig tree rebudding, it would be the sign of his soon return.
It surely would. And we also see before our eyes how the world is clamoring for a one world government. We talk about how the world is shrinking. There's been an attitude of globalism, and even our own national leaders are giving over the sovereignty of America to foreign entities. And that's exactly what Bible prophecy predicts. In the end, the world will come together under one dictator known as the Antichrist, and yet already we have many people clamoring for what they think will be utopia if we could all just be united under one great leader. Well, that's exactly what Germany got in the 1930s. That's what people like Paul Henri Spaak, a prime minister out of Belgium, advocated for. He said, give us a great leader, and be he devil or be he God, we will follow him. And sure enough, Nathan, we're watching that today with the move toward globalism.
Yes, even China has a spot in the Bible. Revelation 16, the kings of the East, the Antichrist empire will start falling apart. And with the kings of the East, China will lead it. So I don't believe China is going to take over the world, but it definitely has a spot. Well, folks, stay with us. We're going to be back in a moment, and Tim's going to give you a final word of encouragement.
Hi, this is Tim Moore. With the presidential election looming and signs of the times multiplying all around, we want to encourage you to attend our annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference, coming up Friday evening and Saturday, June 14th and 15th. You'll hear powerful speakers like Pastor Jack Hibbs and former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, and I'll be there too. This year's theme for the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference is Nation in Free Fall. Come get an honest, biblical perspective about what's really happening in America and around the world as we share insights from Bible prophecy. You'll be encouraged by our blessed hope, even in such a time as this. Join us in person for the annual Lamb and Lion Ministries Bible Conference in Denton, Texas, or watch the live stream. For more information or to register to attend in person, go to christinprophecy.org/events. I'll hope to see you there. For 34 years, I served in the United States Air Force. I was proud to be able to serve and honored to be able to defend the land I love. I still have a son and two nephews who serve in the Air Force. But I'm heartbroken today to know where our nation has gone and where we are headed in a very headlong direction. You know, folks, we can talk about America being great again, because it once was, but the reality is America has lost its way. We no longer believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or at least follow his laws. Our leaders flaunt their wickedness and actively encourage others to participate in abomination. We cannot put our hope in another political candidate, the next election, or anything on this earth. Our only blessed hope is Jesus Christ. So yes, while we live in this land and serve him faithfully as salt and light, or as what the world would consider troublers, just like Ahab called Elijah, our citizenship is in heaven. Paul wrote in Philippians 3:18-20, "For many walk, of whom I often told you, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things." That seems to address so much of our society, our culture today. But then Paul contrasts and says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." My citizenship in this life is America, but my eternal citizenship is heaven, which is why I am not disturbed or discouraged. I am actually encouraged when I see all of the signs of the times manifesting. We began this episode talking about Psalm 2 and how the nations are in uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing, the kings and the counselors taking counsel against the Lord and his anointed. But verse 4 of Psalm 2 says that he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He does not laugh because this is a laughing matter or because he's humored. He laughs because all the efforts of men and women, of Satan himself, to flaunt the will of God and to usurp his authority will fail. No, the conclusion of this great psalm tells us where we should be and where we should advocate all of our friends and families to be. It says, "Now therefore, O king, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry, and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him." So as you look around at our world and the political scene, don't be discouraged. Be encouraged that God is still in control and that you still have time, if you're hearing my voice today, to flee from the wrath to come and into the loving arms of our Savior. On behalf of Lamb and Lion Ministries, this is Tim Moore saying, Godspeed.